Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2011 with a release date of Friday, May 13, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Dayton Hamvention is coming soon, and yes, it's staying at the Hera Arena. An experimental beacon over the Indian Ocean is no more. And our top story, hams step in to help out as wildfires ravage the Canadian province of Alberta. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2011, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this special report on the Alberta wildfires from Amateur Radio Newsline Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. He spoke this week with one of the Canadian amateur radio operators who stepped in to assist as the Fort McMurray wildfires continue to consume the landscape in the province of Alberta.
A devastating wildfire has hit the Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada area hard. The fire destruction covers a staggering 328 square miles.
I'm okay. I'm surrounded by firemen and cops, so I mean, what could go wrong?
Newsline caught up with amateur radio emergency services operator Matthew Lewis, VE6JI, who has been working in the Fort McMurray EOC.
We did a call out on Monday when things started getting severe. We made our presence known to the EOC, and they accepted us. So amateur radio, you know, sits in its little corner, mostly, you know, helping Red Cross, helping Salvation Army food trucks and things like that. And allowed us to set up a VHF station in their parking lot. We had a crossband repeater so that we could use UHF to get to the local repeater, and so we made call-outs for our amateurs.
The amateur community responded.
As far as outpouring, huge amount from all over, actually, from the Calgary group and Edmonton group. They also got lots of contacts as well.
Lewis explains how important having an HF ham radio grab-and-go kit can be.
Unfortunately, we had left our houses, and including all our gear, because we were actually helping out with something else. And so the two of us that actually had portable HF capabilities didn't have our portable rigs with us. We were hoping that things had calmed down, that we'd be able to get a police escort to the house and get the stuff and whatnot, and then set up HF. But that wasn't possible. There was concern about losing cellular service. TELUS, which runs a lot of the towers in British Columbia and Alberta, they stepped up and brought in portable towers. They call them COWs, cells on wheels. Made those available and set them up. And after that, it was apparent that there wasn't a communication issue. So we lended a hand where needed in the EOC.
The hams were told they could stand down.
The part that we would like people to know for our little group up here is that even though we weren't used, there's still the possibility especially in remote communities, that amateur radio is a necessity in the event of a communications failure, like in the overloading of infrastructure and things like that. If you're interested in amateur radio, please pursue that. And to the goal of the emergency service, not just rag-toing on 20 meters kind of thing. All that's fine. That's a great part of amateur radio, but the really important part is to make yourself known to your local Aries group or Races or Mars or whatever. If you're already an amateur, join your Aries group. Learn how to handle traffic.
The good news for Lewis, his home was still standing.
The area that I live in miraculously survived because of the work of the firefighters. Amazing group of people. There was an army of them fighting these fires, and in some places they won and in some places they lost.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With the emergency preparedness in the forefront now for Canadians as a result of the wildfires, the province of nearby British Columbia has honored two radio amateurs among several other volunteers. They were recognized recently for their contribution to public safety and crisis response. Amateur Radio Newsline Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has more.
Two long-time radio amateurs in Canada were honored on the 28th of April by the province of British Columbia for their steady volunteer efforts in the public interest. Alan Mallett, VA7AWM, from the Vancouver Island region of the province, and George Merchant, VE7QH, from the Southwest region. Alan, a director-at-large of the West Coast Amateur Radio Association, has been licensed since 1975. Since 2010, the retiree from the City of Victoria has continued to serve the city as its Auxiliary Communications Group Coordinator. The province presented him with the Radio Communications Award. George, a ham for more than 40 years, helped to found the North Shore Amateur Radio Club and the province-wide British Columbia Amateur Radio Coordination Council. He's worked with the North Shore Emergency Communications Team since its creation. He was presented with the 2016 Public Safety Lifeline Volunteer Award. British Columbia has more than 13,000 Public Safety Lifeline volunteers who respond to an average of 6,000 annual incidents in the province. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The wait is almost over for the world's largest hamfest, Dayton Hamvention, which opens in Hera Arena on May 20th. The 61st Gatherings events include a reception Saturday, May 21st, hosted at the National Voice of American Museum of Broadcasting. And as reported on a recent episode of Ham Talk Live, it marks the debut of a 24-hour DX station, complete with hex beams and full power amps. And there's more news. It looks like Hamvention is staying at Hera Arena for the time being. Hamvention's general chairman, Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, made those assurances in a recent interview on Ham Talk Live with Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
There were queries by our local fair board, Montgomery County Fair Board, who are looking at to replace and have been looking at this for a number of years for their facility downtown. And it just so happened that one of the areas was up around Hera. It got turned around to the story that they were going to buy Hera Arena. We have been in contact with the city of Trotwood officials. The spokesperson for that has told us directly that there is no ownership by Trotwood of Hera Arena, which if you heard that, that is has no validity. There is nothing to that. If it's just straight rumor. That is a story. It is not true. The Fair Board itself is doing its due diligence to go out and look for new facilities, venue to where they can have their fair at a new place that they've been looking at for a number of years. So it's just all information gathering. It's got nothing to do with what's going to happen with Hamvention itself. So to alleviate anything else, the first question is there going to be a Hamvention 2017? As far as we are concerned, yes, sir, there will be. Will it be at Hera? Our plans call for that right now, yes.
That was Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, speaking to the Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp on his podcast, Ham Talk Live. To hear the full interview, visit the website, hamtalklive.com, and select Episode 12 and start packing for Dayton. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on such bulletin stations as the United Radio Amateur Club repeater, WA6LA, on Monday nights in Los Angeles, California. The Trans-Indian Ocean Beacon was years in the planning, but the experiment is over. Amateur Radio Newsline Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us more.
It was supposed to help enable better VHF transmissions along the challenging path between South Africa and Australia. Now the VK6RIO, Trans-Indian Ocean Beacon, is about to be no more. The 2-meter beacon, using chirp modulation, is a project of the Northern Corridor Radio Group in Perth, Australia. It was designed to detect openings on 144 megahertz across the Indian Ocean via tropospheric ducting and enable deeper study of propagation conditions across the Indian Ocean. The VHF path between the two nations exceeds 8,500 kilometers and the beacon's frequency was 144.950 megahertz. Researchers had great hope for its success. Chirp modulation can be detected 50 decibels below the noise floor in a bandwidth of 2 kHz. But with the depreciating South African rand and the lack of local support, however, researchers have called the project off. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, in Sydney, Australia.
Radio scouting is back again, this week activating call sign K2BSA. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Stearns, NE4RD, with the Scouts' latest on-air activities. This week in Radio Scouting, we have one activation of the K2BSA call sign in Montana and three other scout activities on the air. I, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, will be the control operator for the Portable 7 station at Pompey's Pillar National Monument in Warden, Montana, for the Black Otter District Spring Camporee on May 14th. Myself and members of the Yellowstone Amateur Radio Club will be operating HF on 20 and 15 meter phone. Matthew Murphy, KC8BEW, with the Muskegon Valley Council Radio Club, W8MVC, will be operating a special event station at Aerial Foundation Park, Mount Vernon, Ohio, for Scout Fest 2016 on May 13th and 14th. Matthew will be running 20 and 40 meter phone, APRS, and demonstrating fox hunting. Blaine Session, KD7ZRV, will be operating at Barton Park near Estacada, Oregon, for the 3R District Camporee. Blaine will be active on 20 meters and on VHF and UHF. Larry Deardruff, AF7NU, will be operating at the Benton District Oregon Trail Council's Camporee on May 14th. Larry will be setting up an HF station on 20-meter phone. Please help support this activity and others involving youth and amateur radio by working and spotting them on the air and online. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD. Stone County, Mississippi is marking its centennial, and while no one may have gone on the air in 1916 to celebrate when the county was created, its 100-year birthday has inspired special event station K5STO. The station is operating for the entire month on May, right through 11:59 UTC on Tuesday, May 31st. Hams who live in the area can look for the station operating, if weather permits, from the grounds of the Stone County Courthouse on Saturday, May 14th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more details on the station itself, visit its page at qrz.com or look in the May issue of QST Magazine. Speaking of young radio amateurs, one college student in upstate New York has taken the concept of eyeball QSO to a new level. She started a ham radio video blog. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Computer engineering student Sarah Tibbetts had big plans to one day launch her own video blog, or vlog.
So I've always wanted to have a video blog, or vlog as I like to call it. I don't really know what attracted me to it, and for a very, very long time I didn't really know what I would vlog about, which is why I had never started. But when I got into amateur radio, I saw that it was a field where people seemed kind of drawn to me for a few reasons. A, I'm young. B, I'm female, and it just seemed like, you know, hey, I have this opportunity, you know, maybe it would be pretty cool.
But she only got around to it after something unplanned happened first. At the end of her freshman year, Sarah, KD2GTM, got her amateur radio license.
Right now, I've really kept it with kind of simple starter topics that are pretty general to the field, but in the end, I definitely want to get more into specifics. I want to work a little bit more into electronics into the vlog.
Now the Rochester Institute of Technology student uses the vlog to cover the basics of her on-air experience and to chronicle her journey along the radio science learning curve.
You shouldn't be assuming these things. Like, just because I'm a girl doesn't mean that I can't be in amateur radio.
And because she's right there on camera, her very image is able to impart another important lesson, because viewers get to see that in a community still populated mainly with male licensees, Sarah Tibbetts, as a YL, is very much the face of ham radio today, too. Find Sarah's blog on YouTube under the title of her call sign, and if you're going to Dayton Hamvention this year, look for her there as well. If you're a fan of her blog, you'll have no trouble recognizing KD2GTM. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
A group of Australian operators using the call sign VK9NT will work from Norfolk Island from May 20th through May 31st. They plan to be active on all bands, 160 meter to 10 meter on CW, SSB, and RIDI. QSL manager is VK2CA. Aaron VA1AXC will remain on the air from Sable Island as CY0/VA1AXC. Find him on 20-meter SSB. His QSL info is direct to JE1LET. Special event station 8J1 ITU will be active from Kasamagura City on Honshu Island, Japan, until May 31st. The station celebrates World Telecommunication Day, which is May 17th. Members of the Thailand DX Association HSDXA are planning to work as E2X during the CQWWPX-CW contest from May 28th to May 29th. QSLs can be sent via Logbook of the World or to E20GMY. Our final story is about some neighbors in one Australian suburb who are plagued by a polarization that has more to do with politics than radio signals. Here's amateur radio newsline John Williams, VK4JJW.
It appears that some residents in Morley, a suburb of Perth, Australia, just don't have that Christmas spirit. Okay, never mind that this is May, and never mind that the pole that set off the whole controversy in this neighbourhood isn't exactly the North Pole. It's actually an antenna mast, some 20.1 metres, or about 65 feet high, that one homeowner installed 5 years ago without apparent incident. That would be John Rowe, described as an amateur radio enthusiast in the local press, but who is actually a flight radar watcher. But John Rowe is more widely known as the Christmas Lights Man, famous for his dramatic animated holiday displays that have become the talk of suburban Perth and beyond for more than two decades, not to mention lively and widespread media coverage. The annual holiday display has 120,000 lights, and last year drew about 7,500 visitors, along with various news reports. But the media coverage that John Rowe is getting lately comes courtesy of the Bayswater City Council, which wants him to submit the mast for planning approval, retroactively, or face dismantling it altogether. Some authorities object to any retroactive application altogether, claiming the mast is simply inconsistent with the town's planning design and not in compliance. They say it has to go. Since the dust-up over the mast, the Bayswater Council has received petitions in support of it and against it. The drama continues, and so far council members have simply deferred any decision on whether ultimately the Christmas Lights Man will be found to be naughty or nice. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW, in Queensland, Australia.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur Radio Victoria, the ARRL, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, CQ Magazine, DX.net, The Eastern Reporter Newspaper, Ham Radio Live, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Neil Rapp, WB9, VPG, QSL.net, QRZ.com, South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Tim Purvis, N5UDK, Twit TV, West Virginia DX Association, Westford Kiwanis Club, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. We also remind our listeners that there's still time to nominate candidates for the 2016 Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. This honor recognizes licensed amateurs who are no older than 19 and living in the U.S., Puerto Rico, or Canada, and who have made significant contributions to ham radio and their community. To download an application form, visit our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the tab for YHOTY. Completed applications should be sent to the Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, Inc. Editorial Office, Post Office Box 451, Huntington Station, New York, 11746. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.